JAZZ.com.
Are you ready to move, groove, and exercise with the WPFW family? WPFW's annual 5K Run Walk for Total Fitness happens Saturday, September 13th from 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. This fundraiser will be held at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland. In addition to a scenic 5K trail, fitness and wellness classes will be offered. Lively music to fuel your participation in the activities, along with water and healthy snacks, will be provided. Details are at WPFWFM.org or call 202-888-5484. There's something for everyone to enjoy. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Peace, this is Aton Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Should've guessed he's like the rest. So fine and so deceiving. There's no
And hello, and welcome to Inside Out. Happy Monday. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. This is Mimi Magic, and I'm one of the hosts. Today, my lovely co-host, Bianca, will not be here, but we have an awesome guest to fill in and have a good time this evening. Well, if you're new here, Inside Out is a show that illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the rainbow community. Our groundbreaking show has aired since 2008 and is DC's only show of its kind on the FM dial and one of only a handful in the country. As our name implies, we take you inside this community to look at everything from pop culture to politics through an LGBTQIA inclusive lens. We are proud to be part of the legacy of Cutting Edge Affairs programming on WPFW, the home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM and online at WPFWFM.org. Feel free to give us a call, give us a shout, ask a question, give an answer at 202-588-0893. All right, Allison, we back. How are you?
Here we are. I've got big shoes to fill this time.
Well, I'm happy that you're back. You were really awesome the last time. And, you know, you said that you had a good experience after, right? You know, okay. For those who don't know you, you know, tell a little bit about yourself, please.
I am the co-founder and political director of an activist organization called Rainbows in Revolt. We are currently most focused on working with emerging queer musicians. We have five currently as part of our family. One of them, I'll give her a shout out, Lily Aaron, was played on the radio for the first time this week. So she's on cloud nine up in Boston, having a great week. So congratulations to her. But we work with these artists that are coming along and try to get them more airplay, more visibility, more ears to hear what they're doing. And that's the main focus. We also have a t-shirt design shop that funds all of our activism. So would certainly appreciate any business that comes our way, but I will give a shout out to this show. You have at least one proud listener in London because she heard the show and is a weekly listener and immediately went and bought two shirts from us. So thank you to her. Thank you to you guys for the promotion and congratulations on your outreach across the world.
Oh, that's amazing. And, you know, it was just great to hear that your experience was met with a warm welcome with something fun after. So it's really, really good. And we love to hear it. And so, you know, let's just get into it. So today's show is going to be just a little light, you know, more pop culture, politics side of things. So, cause you know, it's just so much always going on. It's like, you can't catch up. You can't catch a break. It's weird. It's such a different time that we're in, you know, well, you know, it's funny because it's like, you know, as a trans person, it's like, girl, we always fighting for something, but it's like, now it's like, you know, everybody is again. And, you know, just so regressive and, you know, it's unfortunate. And, you know, what is your understanding when it comes to even like the new thing about, you know, it's very unfortunate what happened a few weeks ago at the start of school, you know, the Minneapolis shooter, and, you know, it's just absolutely terrible. But, you know, it was like when I saw that they were saying, oh, this person was trans, and, you know, I'm like, look, I don't know. You know, I don't know if they were. I don't know what's going on. But at the end of the day, it's like, now, what is it? Trump is saying that he's going to try and make it so that then, you know, there's certain people can't get the guns and, you know, also. And it's like, it's so wild. It's so wild because people have been trying to get gun law reform forever, you know, of some sort of background checks and, you know, all these different things. And it's like only when it's red meat to a certain base of people is it like, oh, we're going to do something, but it's only to this particular group of people. Yeah, we never really heard of anything like this.
Yes. So let me start very simply by saying this. As a trans person, whether the shooter was trans or not, was happy being trans, was unhappy being trans, was forced to transition, whatever the rumor mill is saying today, I absolutely, unequivocally, as an individual, as a company with Rainbows in Revolt, as an activist for the community at large, absolutely condemned the actions of this shooter. There's no endorsement from the family that this was a good idea, for whatever reason, they may have had to do this. This is 100% an atrocity that absolutely never should have occurred. And to your point on the proposed Justice Department ban of transgender people having guns, it amazes me how much this administration has convinced its followers to put aside their own personal values that they have held for decades. And we may be seeing history here, Mimi, as this may be the absolute only time that the trans community and the NRA are lockstep on something.
Well, I mean, to be honest, Ellen, like, I'm not, you know, I'm a Lara Croft fan, but I don't want to be her. Okay. Like, that's just not a me thing. I don't want a weapon, you know, even like they talk about percentages of like, you know, if you have one, the likelihood of having some kind of issue with something surrounding it goes higher, you know, things like that. It's just not for me, you know. So for me, I'm like, well, you know, that's not an impact on my life. Like, I mean, I'm still sleeping but naked with a fan on. Like, I don't think about that often. No. And when I do, I think about people who shouldn't have them, like the people we've seen for decades, you know, doing what this person did, but, you know, maybe look different. I don't know. They all look a little awkward to me, to be honest. So it's just, it's a mess. And, you know, then they talk about, oh, well, men's mental health. So let's jump from the trans thing, because I don't want to stay. It's a sad situation in general. So I don't want to stay on this person, because I don't even know if they were trans. Like, not everybody is that says they are, you know, and I'm just going to be very honest and real. You know, I think, what do you feel takes the steps for, like, saying like that you are, like, is there gatekeeping that needs to be had now? Because it's getting a little weird, beyond it being weird in general, I'm sure, for most people listening that goes, well, it's weird in general, you know.
Yes, you know, it is not my place to say whether or not someone is or isn't.
I want it to be somebody's place, and I'm tired of not saying it. I'm sorry. It's got to be somebody's place, because if everybody's saying that they're this and they're committing like acts of, you know, horrible, like stated things, and you know, they're just saying this, and you know, they're being aggressive, or they're, you know, hurting people, that I don't know the trans people around me doing that.
No, and that's the thing. This is not, and this is the truth that needs to come out. Because as soon as the word trans shows up in any dialogue with any shooter, the shooter becomes trans. And that's the top line of the whole thing. I think we have to come to a point to where we can normalize trans enough that that's no longer the top line. That's no longer a significant factor. Okay, so you're trans, big deal. You're a murderer of children inside of a church. That's the top line.
Well, they're coming into it about mental health. So yes. Then they're going on to the segue, and you know, it's like that person just, I mean, because they put two pigtails in their hair and changed their name, like, to something or whatever. They didn't say they changed their gender marker, or like they were on hormones, or, you know, living their life as a woman. Like, none of that has come out. I don't see any pictures showing that you're, you know, conforming to a life that is saying I'm this, you know.
I think there was a lot more questioning of life in general than there was just of gender in this case, the way it looks. Some experimentation, which is perfectly fine and perfectly valid on a normal scale, but to come out and say this was an absolute trans person who was living that life every day, you're right, that doesn't seem to be reflected in a lot of what we are seeing come out now.
Well, and in the depression situation, and, you know, things like that, like, can we be honest? Like, remember, like, emo, when it was like a big thing, right? And you had these guys with the eyeliner and the, like, you know, wild hair, and like they would wear the girl jeans, or what we would call them before skinny jeans, right?
Before
they were called skinny jeans. And, you know, and some people look really good with, you know, the situation or whatever, but you knew that that guy was wild. You knew that was that person that, you know, if your friend hung out with you, like, girl, you either gonna get hurt or heartbroken. It's just one or the two. It's nothing good coming out of this. But I feel like now that emo understanding has now, you know, been adapted to something else.
Sure. And a lot of,
you know, because of maybe like education around gender.
Yeah, we see that a lot with the word woke. It just becomes whatever fits somebody's narrative in the moment. And we've forgotten what the actual definition of the word woke is. And it's ridiculous. But I think emo is the same way. I think some of the goth movement is the same kind of way. It just became a statement of this is my group. And this is what I have to do to conform to that group. And it really got away from what it actually ever meant. I think we see some of that in the trans community that,
I would say a lot. I would say a lot. No, because, you know, and I like to be really real on the show because, you know, I don't ever want to be like head in the clouds, la, la, you know, like this, it's true, you know, and if we're living an experience, we need to speak up on it because I don't feel like there's a movement because nobody's saying the hard things. Okay. Like nobody's saying it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some hard conversations that need to be had in the community of, you know, I hate to say who gets to join the club, but, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, we want to maintain a certain lifestyle. We want to maintain a certain public image, so to speak, like everyone does. And, you know, you don't see other demographics of people embracing the worst among them or the outliers or the posers, to go back and use a word from my younger years. You know, the people that are just trying to get into the party, the people that are, let's be honest, the chasers among us, because, you know, that is a set we don't talk about enough. The ones that fetishize the trans community on a daily basis, and we are just one more category in the Pornhub list, and that's what we're seen as.
Well, I mean, but it's like, but I feel like that version of what you're talking about, like I always say, like there's the Pamela version, there's a Caitlyn Jenner version, yes. There's Laverne Cox, there's, you know, whatever, you know, I'm on, you know, the more of like, you know, if I had to pick between like a certain role model or something, like a Pamela Anderson look versus like the other one who's like, you know, a Danny, what's the name? I can't remember her name. Or whatever. Danica, whatever name. So it's just like, you know, to me, I'm like, stop. You know, like, you know, I have a good blueprint. You know, I tell my mom this all the time. You know, she's such a lady. It's like, you know, the ladies in my life that taught me how to be who I am, my mother and Mariah Carey. Like, that is who, you know, I am. If it's outside of that tracing, outside of that stencil, I don't know what to be doing. Right. But because of that, that's what, you know, I understand is, I think some people think that conforming to a thing that keeps you safe, you know, feel good, and, you know, in a weird way, acceptable, is bad. And I just don't feel like being a person who creates a disruption is good for me. Okay. That's dangerous, you know. And then when we come to race, when it comes to trans people, people don't talk about that either. White trans women can get away with more than a Black trans woman. And we have to be very honest about that. You know, I'm a mixed race individual. So people can sometimes say, oh, you look like this, or, you know, I thought you were that, or, oh, da-da, you know, and then that all becomes something different too. Right. But because, you know, Black trans women have, like, you know, the same stigma as people who are of color anyway, you can't be doing just whatever you want to do because it's very dangerous and it could be the end of your life, you know. So there is a privilege in between the two. And I think that, you know, to be on Real Talk, that it is for, you know, I think white trans women to talk and say, what is our standard of where we want to be and where we see ourselves? Because a lot of times when it comes to, you know, transitioning and staying in a certain lane or whatever, like, I don't really see that with the Black trans women. You know, I see there's a goal and they're trying to meet that goal, you know, and that is the doll or whatever they're calling, you know, that, and, you know, all that stuff. But if not, then sometimes I go, what's the point? I don't know. What are your thoughts as a person who is trans, you know, in your journey, doing your thing?
Yeah. And I think there's something in the white trans community, we don't talk about enough, and maybe it's the same in the people of color as well. Mm-hmm. I don't have that experience, but in the white community, we don't talk about enough the privilege of passing on a day-to-day basis. And I think mm-hmm. the hierarchy that comes from that, that is also dangerous. Someone that starts transitioning in their early 20s is much more likely to just genetically come out of it better. At the end of the day, somebody like me that started at 38, 39, there's going to be a ceiling just in genetics. I mean, mm-hmm. The surgeries are making leaps and bounds, but I'm always going to have the shoulders of the high school wide receiver that I was.
So but women have that. But women, like, that's the thing is, like, and not to take from you, but and this is more, to add to a compliment. Women in general are all different shapes and sizes. Yes. Okay. And, I think that that's the thing is, like, where you're at, right, and you're moving towards is a wonderful thing because you're presenting yourself as who you are. You know what I'm saying? You're not coming in boisterous and nasty and argumentative to some female and then want to be like, oh, well, because I'm trans, you're mad at me. Like, no, you're not doing that. Why ain't trans women be doing that, though? Why trans 100%. Women be doing that, like, all the 100%. Time? Like, the victim has not left the building.
Yes.
And that is something that, like, I just can't be getting into. I don't like it on anybody. But
yeah.
I'm like, girl, if you a mess, you a mess. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah. And, and I think for me, and I've talked about this a lot, and I'm going to scoot over into something that's a third mm-hmm. rail a little bit.
Okay.
And that's the sports issue.
Yeah.
When you are coming out as transgender, for me at least, and you can speak to whether or not this was your experience, mm-hmm. I had to go through a mental list in my head of these are things I'm likely going to give up. If this is the path I'm going to travel, if I feel this is what's going to make me most authentic, this path right now in the world we live in probably is not going to include these things. Obviously, for me, my family was one of them. That turned out to be 100% true. They moved on very quickly. My relationship with the church that had been a central point of my life growing up, that completely went away. And the other thing was, am I going to be able to play organized sports even at a rec league level because of the changes that are going to occur, but the changes aren't necessarily going to go far enough. And that was part of the mental gymnastics of, is this the journey I'm going to walk and finally be my authentic self? And I think we see these stories, and I think they're rare. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I think they are rare, and I think they're cherry-picked, these stories that come out that, oh, this person competed on the men's team last year and wasn't very good, so decided they were going to come out as transgender and play on the women's team the next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not cool. And that gives all of us a bad look. That, hey, we weren't good enough, so we became trans so we could be good enough. No, that's complete and utter...
Yes, stuff. Yeah. I get Well, because there's like 8 athletes out of 500,000 professional players, right? So that's the argument, is like, you can't even make a league, Now, I'm with you, okay? Now, I am with you on this, right? So there is a giving up of things, right? There's a understanding of... it's like, boo, I ain't want to do that no way. Let's be real. Like, there was things that I wanted to do. Yeah. I ain't want to do that anyway. I was good at what I did, but I was always, it was never who's the boy, who's the girl. I was always the girl. Like, so to me, it's like people telling me, like, girl, when you going to do this? Because we tired, like, give it up. You know what I'm saying? So, and my best friend will speak to that, at a time in my life where, she's like, girl, you look, it's just, it's stop, like, you gotta, be you fully and, all that. And, I'm happy for it. And also my mom saying, like, if you're going to do it, you better do it. Like, don't be funny about it, because that's not what we do. And I'm glad I have her in my life, right? So the point is that some trans women don't even know literally like what femininity is, I think. And I know that people like to talk about binary and things like that when it comes to females and males, but that is when you're talking about biological people and their characteristics. I'm so sorry, but a trans woman, I was just like, If you're going to do it, please, because it's for your own safety, but it's also like just a better understanding, right? You're going to transition to be a woman. Don't transition to be a woman looking like a woman who's tired of being a woman her whole life. Yeah. It's just, you know what I'm saying? So there's like things you want to maybe get into. If you're not a naturally feminine person, that's fine. But, you know, you take a risk out here, and that's without politics, without anything. You take a risk. And I think that that's what some people aren't really getting, is that there is a risk. People are not always accepting. People are not always amazing to people. And when you are in a situation where you're not around people who care about you and things happen, you're out there by yourself, you know, and there is a fear, and, you know, people should be concerned. So, you know, it's not an easy life. It's not for the faint of heart. And like you said, giving up things like sports and whatever. I'm not a person who's like, I don't know what to say. I'm not a, you know, I don't get into all of what, you know, their levels are or what's going on in that. And, you know, I see people, they want to compete and, you know, and they want to do these things. You don't really hear it about the trans men, right? Because we had what, Skylar come or whatever?
Yep.
Hot. So hot, by the way. Just sure. My God. You know, but to me, I'm like, okay, well, he played on the men's swim team and did well, right?
Talk about it.
Wasn't he amazing? Like, he was amazing.
The first one, but no one ever said, oh, this is a bad idea. We can't go here. This is slippery slope. This is, you know, this.
Well, because it's more of an achievement, right? 100%. Right. Yeah, that's what they're looking at. It's more of the achievement.
Stepped up biologically. So.
Right. You stepped up. But see, then there we go. So then there's like the level of, is it like just misogynistic in general? But is it misogynistic for, you know, a trans woman who, you know, okay, so this is the thing. Just because you're trans doesn't mean your ideology changes. And I always tell people this, okay? Sometimes I feel like it's a little, giving me a little misogynistic, like a little bit you're taking over a situation. I do understand a fear. And this isn't to like down people who want to do this, you know, playing the sports or, you know, I don't have like a stance, but I do tend to listen to people when they say that if there's a scholarship going out or, you know, whatever, if somebody misses that, who's a biological female, you know, that is very unfortunate if they've been doing this for their whole entire upbringing and life. This is where people are, you know, real. Okay. This is where people are real. You doing something for 4-5 years after having a career as a, you know, a male, you know, in these sports and then transitioning for four. This woman's been doing this for 14 years as herself. If you're taking something from this person, I don't know. I think people need to kind of understand that that's not cool. So I'm not really like, I'm probably not the best person to advocate for that.
The one thing I have said for the last couple of years is that equality and inclusion absolutely must be the goal.
Mm-hmm.
But we as the minority, the marginalized, the whatever you want to call us, whatever tag you want to put on the trans community,
mm-hmm.
We have to understand that that is a process. It was a process of almost 40 years for women to get the vote. It was a process of even longer than that for the African American to truly become free in this nation. Not that we're equal, not that we have any equality in that area yet, but to become free, to have the right to vote, to have the right to own land. That was a decades long fight. We can't expect as the trans community that that historical arc is going to change all that much. It's going mm-hmm. to be a journey. It's going to be a fight. There are going to be wins and there are going to be losses. And I think we have to celebrate the wins. We have to celebrate the mayor of Salt Lake City and the mayor of Boise making a series of pride flags recognized as official city flags so that they could be displayed legally. We have to celebrate those wins. We have to stand behind Fairfax County and Arlington County and Prince William County and the city of Alexandria when they say, we believe in every one of our students and we are willing to risk tens of millions of hundreds of millions of dollars to stand behind them and tell 5 students they matter. That's important to us. We have to stand behind them when they do that. And we have to learn from the losses. And we cannot begin creating our own Mount Rushmore until we have the achievements to do so. There's a narrative that goes out to Sarah McBride from Delaware that she's not trans enough. Guys, she wasn't elected to be the trans representative. She was elected to be the at-large representative from the state of Delaware. It's huge. It's historic that a state said, I don't care what the lifestyle or the gender identity of this person is. They're the best candidate to represent our state. That's huge. We have to go out as activists and community leaders and do our job to make these issues a priority, to point out that what happened in Oklahoma with the student who was killed in the bathroom because he was forced to use the girls' room and ultimately died from it. We have to go out and say, this is unacceptable. We cannot send kids to school to be killed, whether it's by guns, whether it's by bullies, whether it's by people on the street, whatever. That's unacceptable. And we have to get that message out, and we have to take the points we can take and put those into our elected officials and start climbing that same mountain where we elected men that said, you know what, I don't see any reason women shouldn't have the right to vote. We have to fight the war. And I think oftentimes as a community, we're trying to avoid the war and go straight to the Hall of Fame. And you can't do it.
Mm. Well, no, okay. And, you know, and I agree with all of what you said, just absolutely, and I think that is a thing, exactly what you said. Sarah, isn't this enough? Enough for who? When I became, the vice president and president of the Equality Chamber, right? Helped change the name because it was only like gay and lesbian. Then it was like, okay, let's do equality. Then it's like, boom. So there's a lot of ideas. There was a lot of things that I helped change. But one thing that I wasn't able to get behind was when people were acting like I needed to pretend like I was sad or infringed upon in order to make other people feel comfortable. And to me, I was like, no, I've grown up in the business that I'm doing. I come from parents that broke down barriers as people of color, in the 70s and 80s, and, owned resources and enjoyed their lives in different ways and were praised for their ability to always stand above. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take away my lineage for somebody to feel good because I don't have the same struggle, nor looking for that struggle. And, I feel like a lot of times, the community will sensationalize dangerous work that trans women do in order to be like, oh, well, if that's all you can do. But nobody said that, and if we keep saying that to people, that's all you can do. And then when you see somebody else doing something different, you say, oh, well, they didn't do this, so they have a privileged life. That's absolutely untrue. Yeah. That is absolutely untrue. And you can't be everything everybody wants you to be. And a lot of times, people like Sarah, she's in, in Congress and everything like that. So, maybe, it's on deaf ears. But people within our communities that are more tangible, people need to understand a good representation is what will make change. If you're always the thing that they can say you are, it's not going to make change. And I don't care how loud you are. I don't care what podcast, whatever. They can still feel better than you. And it is slow. It is a grind. But we do need to celebrate the things that are working and actually going to get people into a workforce, are going to get people to blend into society and feel good and have like just lives, like, normal understandings of life, even if it's not a common way of life. Correct. So, it's just very frustrating. And I'm glad that you brought that up because, she is, doing her thing. And we've had other delegates and people. And like I said, Danica, is up here in Manassas, of all places. Manassas is crazy. Mm-hmm. But like, even during that point, we were so different when I met her, because I was just getting into a lot of the things I was doing. And she was, already, doing what she was doing. But we had like a lot of the same circles. And, you know, her in a gun debate and me in the same gun debate, you know, was a whole different understanding of things. Like, you know, she's on her talking points. She's on, you know, whatever that is. And, oh, the first time I went to like a gay club and how I felt. And I'm like, girl, bye, fast forward. Like, you know, this is not about you. This is about what happened at Pulse Nightclub. Like, can we really get into this? Like, and, yes. You know, to Tim Kaine and all of them, I'm like, all you guys are just like talking, and the only like real hero here is the person who was shot 8 times, and you guys are like literally not even letting them speak. I hope he doesn't remember that. But anyway, so the point is like, you know, I just feel like you have to be direct, you have to be real, you have to know what you're asking for when you're at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people don't know what they're asking for, but they just want something.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to figure out what do we do moving forward. We do have an administration that is trying to dismantle the understanding. Okay. So that means that we need to figure out what does this look like?
Yeah. And I think on that note, and this is something I am currently working on a blog post for the Rainbows in Revolt website now about, is the right, the MAGA movement has figured this out a little bit, that particularly the rainbow community will chase an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that with the Kim Davis case that is working its way through the court system. We're seeing that now with the gun issue. They're going to throw red herrings up.
Mm-hmm.
We have to listen to experts on the court, not on the court itself, but experts in the court workings,
mm-hmm.
and what they are telling us. The fact is, number one, the Supreme Court has not yet accepted the Kim Davis case. So the question of whether or not we're going to overturn Obergefell is not even technically on the table yet.
Mm.
But we're all chasing it like this decision's coming down next week. We have to relax. We cannot exhaust our community every time the big orange man comes on TV and says something scary, because that doesn't make it fact yet. Are they going to eventually find a case that has a legitimate judicial path to overturn Obergefell? They absolutely are. Is Kim Davis using this case the Supreme Court's already rejected once, with now a third just complete tack-on question that has nothing to do with the substance of the case? Even this court is going to go, that's not a valid question in this case. We're not touching that with this case. But mm-hmm. if we've exhausted ourselves for the 6 months getting there for the Supreme Court to answer whether or not she's due any reparations for what she went through and completely pass on the Obergefell question, now we're all exhausted. And now we've got to try to get our allies back together again the next time Trump comes out and says something scary, or somebody in his camp comes out and says, oh, we're coming after Obergefell. Great. They've got 9 miles to go. We can't act like they're coming around the last turn every time they jump. Because when the real issue comes up, when the real legislation comes down that we absolutely have to fight for or against, everyone who stands behind us is going to be exhausted.
Correct. And, you know, what, you know, also helps with all of this, you know, farter and, you know, things that are going on is money.
Yes.
So, you know, when it comes to, you know, like you're saying, like rallying up people, you know, unfortunately, like the organizations, in order to last, you know, like really thrive on, like, you know, a lot of the chaos and a lot of the pain, you know, and things like that, especially within our community. You know, I mean, I met somebody, I'm not going to say which, you know, they not in MO, let's just say that. But, you know, they work for a big organization, and, you know, I went up to them and they were just so in awe that, like, a trans woman of color, you know, was in control of like something and another thing, and, you know, just presented in such way. And, you know, he was a man of color too. And, you know, it's kind of like one of those things where you're like, you know, shut up, you know, kind of thing. And he said to me, you know, oh, well, we should meet and you can tell me about all of the problems. And I said, or maybe we can meet and talk about how to build something. Because, and you know, I never heard from that person. Then I saw all the mess they were involved in. But at the end of the day, I've been quite elusive when it's come to those kind of people, which is great. But, you know, it's just one of the things where, like, why is it the first thing we got to talk about is, like, you know, the sadness, the problem? Like, you know, things are going to be sad. You know, things are going to be a problem. But if happening to be something of color, trans, a woman, whatever, happening to be. If it defines your whole existence, I get it. And a lot of people just really drive into that. But a lot of people don't realize a lot of things are marketed for you to feel like whatever it is that you're driving yourself into. So, you know, I mean, do you have to pick up the green bottle because you're a guy and a pink one because you're a girl? You know, that's some silly stuff. If you like the smell, you like the flavor. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't make you either or just because you like some kind of flavor. So, you know, people really got to get it together. But we'll be back after a little fun song. You know, today's topic was just like, you know, man's best friend. And if you don't know, Sabrina Carpenter's new album came out, you know, a week ago, and it was just like amazing. And it was titled Man's Best Friend. Created an uproar for a lot of people who are like, oh, you know, the jokes aren't that amazing, or, you know, they're this and I like the other thing. And I'm like, I think it's awesome. I think it's so great. It is a pat on the back, a wink, wink to understand what women feel when it comes to certain kinds of things men do, or whatever type of person you are and you deal with some kind of man. I'm in awe, and all the things we've been talking about are so rooted in what? Misogyny. So it's just great. So we'll be back after these short messages. Sabrina Carpenter. Yes, and welcome back to Inside Out. I am Mimi Magic, and I am being accompanied by Allie from Rainbow Revolt. How are you again? Come back, come back, come back. You feeling good?
I am. I love doing this. This is great. I'm so glad that this platform is available. Thank you to WPFW for seeing the need and fulfilling the need for so many years now. This is just such a great avenue, and I hope it's something that we can manifest across the country on public radio for sure. And by the way, as we talked about support earlier for rainbow organizations to fight these fights, the real ones, if you're listening to us somewhere else that doesn't have WPFW, donate to your local public radio. They're fantastic. They are a great resource for the rainbow community in so many areas. Such wonderful, open-minded people that are running the vast, vast majority of public radio and public television. So definitely put your money into something worthwhile and keep them on the air so we can keep doing things like this. If you're in DC, WPFW, absolutely. Make them part of your annual giving. That would be awesome.
Yeah. See, look, we just need to have you on the recording and we'll just hit play. You know, that's what we'll do. I love that. And so, yes. Yeah, so, you know, little shout out to my best friend, by the way. She has a birthday anniversary tomorrow. So I'm very excited for her. Another year with her, you know. And yes, and shout out to that song for those who are never getting laid in right. My thoughts and my dreams. Okay. You know who you are. You know who you are. You know, I hope you never get laid again. You know? Anyway, so you know, I have to be a little shady, you know. That's all it is, darling. It's all it is.
We're not naming names? Come on.
I would never name a name. I don't even know them. You know, I would never name a name. Like, please. You know, it's like if controversy is what they need to sell their albums, I will not be helping. Right? So that's what it is. But yes, like the album is great. Love a Sabrina Carpenter. I like the fact that like she's writing about things where it's like, you know, you put yourself in these situations yes. that are just absolutely like horrendous later or just so like, oh, please, you know, and you right. just have to like, you know, move it on, get on through it. You know, I've, you know, been on the show for years and, you know, people maybe listen from, you know, that long period of time. And, you know, you go through ups and downs and different things that happen. And I would try and be very honest just so people kind of like get into the experience that it's more than what people depict, you yes. know, like somebody has experienced. I'm experiencing the same fool that y'all experiencing. And it is absolutely terrible, you know, to, you know, just understand that you hope the best for them, wink, wink, and that they also get chloroformia someday. So it's just like really great.
but, you know, and look, shout out to Sabrina Carpenter last night.
Amazing.
On CBS. CBS has been capitulating to this administration at every turn mm-hmm. possible. They tried to preserve their own business dealings. Sabrina Carpenter took her moment and she didn't use it for herself. She used it to fully support and embrace the trans community. What an awesome moment for her on a network that if she had told them in advance, probably would have said, no, we're not going to do that because you're going to risk our whole Paramount deal. And we're not going to allow you to do that because somebody in DC might get upset. She basically flipped a finger to everybody and said, this is what I believe.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And then also just with the like the community in general, because it was like the cops and then, you know, like the cop look from like that like 80s drawing and, you know, all of those things. It was very great. Homage to Britney in the end with the whole like water scene. And of course, Mariah winning the Vanguard Award. Love that. Love her. She's beautiful. She did her thing, you know, and her album is coming out on September 26th. Yes, I am promoting that because if you need music that you can hit play on, don't forget about Mariah, okay, because she's amazing and she's the reason why a lot of these little birds be singing. But it was just an amazing show in general. Me and my friend were like kikiing and cackalacking through text like the whole time, and it was great to see. I saw something like there was like some weird critique like, oh well, you know, there need to be a lot of like newer acts that came on, and I was like, boo, no. Because see, when they did that a few years ago, where it's just like these newer kind of whatever's going on, it was a snooze. It went downhill. Unfortunately, the people don't have that kind of ammo anymore in their arsenal when it comes to performing, right? Like some people are really great at it. And all the people who performed last night, we'd already seen been great at it.
Yeah.
So
when you think back to, you know, you and I going to concerts in the 90s, the energy that existed, you know,
Garth Brooks redefined a concert. Michael Jackson redefined a concert. Mariah and Janet redefined concerts, how you were supposed to act on stage. And I feel like we've really regressed away from that now. And we're getting a lot closer to getting back to the stand real still and sing kind of idea of a concert. So many of them are just, why in the world am I going to pay you $150 to go sit and watch you sing your album to me?
You know? Right. Well, I mean, in some people, you know, it's, that's all you need. You know, we just don't have the people who we have that with are have already done it. Right. So the point is, it's like, you know, a lot of people need people to like sing, dance, do whatever. But a lot of times I don't need that. Like, I like that Sabrina Carpenter does all of that, but I think that she has a great voice. I think the songs are fun. I think her with a guitar and like awesome people in the back still gives me an awesome show. You can always tell when people do those like unplugged type things, you know, like where their talent is or what's happening when it's raw. Like, you know, Ariana Grande, when, you know, she had it was an album ago. She did something similar, right? And you didn't even see like an audience or anything. And it was like really great, you know? So I think that a lot of people who won last night, they definitely deserved it. You didn't see that Morgan Wallen or whatever his name was win nothing after, you know, that stunt he pulled on SNL, seeing all the mess. And I was just so happy. I was rooting everything against him, you know, because I was just like, you're just so nasty. And like, put least, like, there's just no more room for that.
I am, and I'll take crap for this. I'm a huge country music fan.
Love country too.
I grew up on the dirt roads.
Don't like some of the people that sing it.
100%. There is so much progress in country music right now that we are not hearing about. But you know, when you look at Kelsea Ballerini, I mean, look,
of course,
straight out. When she started, she started making music for the gays in the days, and that was what she was doing. You know, she is slowly becoming one of those icons that the LGBT community has always had. Well,
and Morgan Maris, Morris, yes.
She has formally left country music, whatever that means these days.
Because she's tired of, you know, these people. Well, because, you know, and also, like, Taylor Swift opened a door for a lot of these people of, like, not that she opened the door. Let me clarify. She didn't open the door, but she opened, like, a new algorithm for people to say, like, hey, I can jump around to these different things and I don't have to stick. Not everything is so gatekept, like, you know, coming into country, like how they were so terrible to Beyonce. Like, girl, bye. Y'all need to look at where it all comes from and stop telling somebody what they're not. But at the end of the day, you know, nobody can forget about Kacey Musgraves because, remember, she was the first one to really put it out there in that way. Follow Your Arrow.
Follow Your Arrow, Merry-Go-Round.
That album is so good. Like, that's a personal. She's my person, right? I get into her. Unfortunately, Carrie Underwood, who I just adored, you know, she was my lifetime Barbie doll. You know, I don't know what's going on with her and what's happening, but
yeah. I don't know if she knows what's going on with her.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, when you're in that world and you're in that realm and it really, like, you know, it just shows that it doesn't matter how much money you are. Money you have. It's an ideal of who you're with sometimes.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of times white women, you know, they sit over here voting for, you know, somebody they don't want to because they want their man to have a job. I get it, you know, that you are being self-preservation. But if you happen to not be liked because of those decisions by other people that you want to be around and enjoy, then, you know, it is what it is. I told somebody, I had the conversation right before I got on the air, guy who's in the National Guard. And, you know, I said, well, just because, you know, you feel like you don't want to get political about things or you don't want to have an opinion because, oh, you know, you can't control who's in charge or everybody's so upset about one person. I was like, that is absolutely just not true. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's upset about one person. They're upset about their livelihoods, things that are going on because of an administration being fired, having things happen. You know, stop. I said, what did he say? And it really like got me going. It was, oh, well, there's been other corrupt people too that we've had. And I said, see that right there. I said, see, you're the problem. Uh-huh. Because trying to normalize with that statement, not even knowing that you're normalizing it with that statement, is the issue. Yes. What this fool is doing is uproar on both sides. Don't play. It's just that one's louder about it because we need to be. So the point is that don't make sense. Don't do that.
Yeah. You know, and you talked about Carrie Underwood having the money and chasing bad decisions. You know, let's talk about a singer by the name of Molly Davies in I'll say Great Britain, somewhere in that area. She was playing at a restaurant, at a club, at a bar, whatever it was, and found out J.D. Vance was coming in, packed up her guitar and left.
I love that.
She needed the money. She absolutely needed the money. She's a starving artist in every definition. And she goes, no, that's not who my art is geared towards. That's not someone I want to give me a shout out on social media. So I'm going to leave.
Well, yeah. Well,
and, you know, we have to stand up for those people. I mean, if, you know, look, go stream Molly Davies just to get the,
streams, get the money back in the pocket. Well, I mean, but also it maybe it left her money where it's at, because let's be real. It's the opposite, where you do something for those kind of people and people don't like those people, you know, and then, you know, now you're just trying to get a check. I get it. People want their money. You know, I'm not mad. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I think with artists and things, you know, it's a little different because you're kind of like, I'm speaking to different people and we don't really know what they're always thinking. Or sometimes the songs may be written about a sandwich you love, you know, and you think it's about somebody you care about. Right. But, you know, those people, I think what it is it so much has just been stirred up where it's just not friendly anymore. And that's what I was trying to tell the guy. I said, you want to be with different kinds of people. You want to enjoy the things that different cultures bring around you. You want to like have a certain kind of life, but it can't be when you pick and choose who's good because they're around you and forget about the rest. And a lot of people are like that. And it's very disheartening because that is not the way the world goes around. And I don't need to be in an extended bubble of yours. Yeah. Okay, so it was like, well, I really appreciate you, you know, saying all these things. I was like, yeah, I'll yell at you another time, any given day. Just tell me, I'll yell at you. Don't worry, I got you.
I would much rather be in your circle because you want me to be than because you have chosen me to be because you think it somehow gets you further.
People messy. People are messy, but I think that people who, you know, can turn it on and turn it off, I don't really want to hear, you know, these men who, you know, date trans women or, you know, women of color or, you know, whatever. And it's like, oh, you know, I'm cool until, like, you know, I'm not cool. Uh-huh. And, you know, or I'm not educating myself. Like, if you're a white guy with a person of color, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't take liberties because, you know, you're getting all like a value in a sense of like so much, you know, and if you're not like giving back value, what are you doing? You know, that's about you at that point. And that's not awesome. And it doesn't make a person feel good amongst the things that they have to deal with every day. So any closing thoughts that you'd like to give to the listeners before we roll out?
You know, first of all, thank you for having me again. This is so much fun. I enjoy it and always enjoy being with you and having these discussions. Just take care of each other. It's hard out there right now, and call your friends, especially in the community, in the rainbow community, in the trans community. And hey, how you doing? No, I'm seriously asking, how you doing? And you know, make sure people are getting what they need. They're getting fed. And, you know, it's going to be a long 3.5 years, but we're all going to get through it. We're going to see some weird stuff, but we're all going to get through it.
Well, yeah. Yes, you're very right. And it's very true what you said. And I think anybody who's going through anything, you know, just, you know, reach out to people and make sure that you're staying connected. And sometimes if you need to disconnect, do that too, honey. Absolutely. I do it all the time. My life is so much better. Well, anyway, this has been Inside Out. Thank you so much, Allie, for joining and being a reoccurring guest this time. So have to have you back. Well, this has been Inside Out, and next Monday it will be another host at 6 p.m. Please tune in. We love you and we enjoy you. Bye-bye.
Record.
Are you ready to move, groove, and exercise with the WPFW family? WPFW's annual 5K Run Walk for Total Fitness happens Saturday, September 13th from 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. This fundraiser will be held at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland. In addition to a scenic 5K trail, fitness and wellness classes will be offered. Lively music to fuel your participation in the activities, along with water and healthy snacks, will be provided. Details are at WPFWFM.org or call 202-888.